that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, coming to you live this August 24th, 2019. And we've got a full house this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Nick from Illinois with us. Good morning, Brother Nick.
Good morning, all.
And the Ramrod heading it all up. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
We say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us. John, if you'll open us up in prayer, we'll get the phone lines open and see where we can go from there.
Sure. Now, Richard, you need to turn your mic down a little bit.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you for this time that you set aside for us, your people, to come together and encourage one another to love and good deeds. And Father, we ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts, give us wisdom and understanding and discernment. Father, that we would speak about the things that are important to your people, the remnant. And Father, show us how they tie in with Scripture and prophecy. And Father, we continue to pray that the things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. We continue to pray that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy and that they would turn upon one another and destroy one another. And we continue to pray that you would take what's meant as a curse and change it to a blessing, that they would fall in the pits that they dig, and that they would be ensnared in the traps that they lay, those that hate you and hate your people. And Father, we see that you are hearing and answering those prayers. And as this next presidential election cycle draws nearer, Lord, it's still over a year away, and it seems like they start to prepare much earlier than they used to.
Father, we know that they make their plans, and you sit in the heavens and you laugh and you scoff at them. But Father, we also know that there's just a window of opportunity of repentance for your people who are called by your name to humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, so that you will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. And Father, we ask that you would hear our appeal to heaven to save America again, that you would continue to remove the scales from your people's eyes and unstop their ears, that they would be able to hear and see the truth, Lord, and that they would fall upon their face and cry out and ask for forgiveness. We continue to pray for the awakening that's taking place, Father, for the rejuvenation and the revival of your people that have been under a spell and believed a lie. But Lord, we know that there are those out there, because your word says that they're out there that only roam like roaring lions, seeking someone to devour, and come only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Father, it's quickly approaching the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lord. We understand by reading into the story that it wasn't just because of the sin of homosexuality that you destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was because they had become prideful and they were flaunting their sin. And that's exactly what's taking place right now, Father. So we ask for your protection. We ask that you remember grace and mercy and compassion in your wrath, and that you would find your people worthy to escape the things that are coming. Father, grant us a special anointing this morning. Send your ministering angels to minister to those that are yours, Lord, to prepare their hearts and minds and souls to receive whatever truth that is that you have for them. Send your guardian angels to protect those that are yours, and your warring angels to battle Leviathan against those battles that are going on in the high places. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, current events, goodness, it's almost like you have to rate them down from rated R to rated PG to rated G to talk about them. But did see this off a website, LifeSite, and it came out of Ottawa, Canada, just this week. But they have their own drag queen story hours that seem to make the news up there. But had a pastor step into one, and when they opened it up for question and answer, he said, "I have a question." He said, "What are you going to do when you stand before God and he judges every one of you here for your sins?" And he went on to quote from the Bible that, you know, a man is not to dress as a woman and a woman is not to dress as a man. And he tells the one thing that's dressed, he says, "You're dressed like a whore in front of children. Are you teaching children to be whores?" And, of course, this was at a community center. And the parents that were there booed and catcalled the pastor. They didn't chase him out. He was there for about 15 minutes. And he said that he came to tell them to repent and turn from their wicked ways. That's what he told them. And the parents booed. And, you know, I just thought that that was a so symbolic of, unfortunately, people that are that are caught up in their sins, that that are following their father, the devil, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's what they're doing. They're stealing and killing and destroying the children, as well as their lives. And when confronted with it was in Ottawa, Canada, on August 19th, so just this past week. But I haven't seen any headlines where the parents actually booed. I haven't seen the headlines where the people were confronted during one of these times of filth. But you were seeing more and more. There was a quote here, and he even quoted to him. He says, "The Bible says, you know, you cause one of my little ones to stumble, and it's better for a millstone to be tied around your neck and you tossed into the ocean." There was a quote that I've seen. even up here. So I think it's just a standby that they're going to, the enemy is going to, that they say, oh, we found it very inappropriate to be judged. We've rented out the space for ourselves to educate kids on what we believe, which is inclusion, diversity, and love. And it's just the opposite. They say, our pastor taught on that, that you know, you take just the opposite usually from what you get from an enemy, and you're going to be closer to the truth. You take the opposite of what the media puts out, and you're going to be closer to the truth. And so, see, they call it hateful to warn these sinners that are doomed to hell if they continue in their sin. They call it hate to warn them. And again, that's in Canada, and that pastor may face some legal issues because of that's what he's, you know, that's how Canada has gone. They're one step ahead of us is all in that, in calling the Bible hate speech when it comes to addressing this. But, you know, the enemy knows what they're doing. They know when they can get into the children that they can implant in their mind that seeing this type of filth and perversion is just normal, and that they're going to grow up thinking this stuff is normal, these abominations.
Well, yeah, I was reading an article this morning, too, there in Washington State, where a pastor, they wouldn't even allow him into the assembly. In fact, the police officers, probably instructed by the governor of that state or the mayor of that whatever town it was, basically instructed to stop anyone who is opposing the drag queens' reading hours in the libraries. And in fact, he was arrested. But the interesting thing is these story hours, you know, at first, it's just like everything else. They get their foot in the door.
Yes.
So these drag queens get into these libraries, and they're reading stories, and they might not even be provocative stories, you know, with their agenda. They might just be there reading Hansel and Gretel or something like that, right? So that nobody can point a finger at them. Well, what the sad thing is that these things have turned into all-day affairs now, and parents stupidly drop their children off and just think, well, it's free daycare, you know? But now it's evolved into the stories that they read are, you know, the My Two Dads and all of that stuff. And then the next thing is that it's turned into sexcapades, barely, where they're handing out free, you know, all kinds of sex toys and all this other stuff. And then some of the parents who are there, they start complaining, and the police remove the parents from the what's going on that day. So, I mean, if that's not a wake-up call for people, then I don't know what is. I mean, like you say, Canada's just one step ahead of us, so we're very close. There's a lot of parents who would support that kind of thing and would boo a pastor that's able to go to that. But, you know, I think the Lord's convicted me, especially as I get some more time in my life. It's time we start to attend those things and just bring our Bible. And maybe we don't even say anything, but we just go there and we keep evil in check, you know? We talked about doing that in our city councils and things like that, but I think just our presence there, you know, bring your Bible and just your presence there and praying against the demonic forces and the spells and the witchcraft that's taking place in there will have a greater effect on them than us just spouting off, giving them what they want, really, the ammunition to attack us and remove us from the assemblies. I don't know what you guys think about that, but I'm pretty sure that that's the way I'm being led.
Yeah, I mean, I know for a fact that sometimes, you know, as far as city council and stuff, that just being there has a huge effect. You know, it's sometimes you're led to say something, sometimes you're led to do something, sometimes you know, you're led to pray. I mean, it's one of those things is where it's a spiritual warfare that we're fighting in right now, and so that stands reason that when you're in battle, it's like your MO is always different. And, you know, we got to listen to the commander in chief, and he directs us through the working of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, when you're led to go one direction, go that direction. I mean, if you want to be led by the Spirit, you got to listen to what the Spirit's telling you to do. And, you know, I think that that's going to be crucial to fighting the warfare that's before us, the battles that are before us, you know, in this spiritual warfare. And, you know, people need to stop, and they need to think, and they need to realize, hey, this is warfare. There's war taking place. And, you know, it's serious, and they need to take it serious.
Hear you, the Lord. Yep.
Well, we're told to live our lives in such a way that those about us will know that we stand for and witness Christ, you know, and that's seen. So just being there, if you've done that, if you've lived your life in that way, you're known in the community as being different or being you know, those things, and not in a negative way necessarily, but when you show up to those things, you take that Christian testimony, that godly influence, into those places, and just your very presence has a dampening and chilling effect upon all that. I mean, the power of Christ, the witness of Christ goes with you into those places, and, you know, darkness fears light. And when you take light into a dark place, it's not dark anymore. I mean, the Bible's pretty clear on that. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just, I think we're seeing that more and more. You know, the enemy is I mean, they don't stop until they are stopped. We just, unfortunately, you're seeing that more and more. Been trying to keep an eye on our local library. Haven't seen anything yet, but been trying to keep an eye on ours. And I would suggest that to the remnant, because that's our posterity. That's our children. And it might not be your children with your last name that are in there with that, but it is ours as a whole, as a people, as a nation. It is. You know,
that's
what a difference from
the watchmen.
That's right.
Over the house of Israel for so long that we've allowed these things to take place, and it's time that, I mean, it's way past time, but we definitely need to start standing up against these things, and like Jason says, just do whatever you're led by the Holy Spirit to do.
Yes. Amen.
One thing I was encouraging this morning was I was reading Franklin Graham called the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, a sham. And I just wish Dad was around to see all that's going on between that regarding the Southern Poverty Law Center. If you've been around for many years, then you know the battles and the way that they specifically targeted Scriptures for America and Pastor Peters. But I mean, it's come to the point where the founder was fired earlier this year, Morris Dees, and one of their head officers resigned right after that. So, in reality, one of the senators, too, claimed to file a lawsuit against their religious exemption, 501c3, and they found out that they had like $121 million in their slush funds in offshore accounts. But, you know, it's just answer to prayer that the things that were done in the dark be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. And these things that the enemy, you know, I really think the enemy is in disarray just trying to figure out how it is that all these things that they used to do to attack Christianity and to attack those that love and serve God, and how none of that stuff is working anymore. And I think they're in disarray, but it's encouraging to see organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center be exposed and brought down and dismantled.
Yes, it is.
Nick, what do you see going on in the world nowadays?
Well, you know, this just put to mind Zechariah to me, and I just looked up chapter 8 while you men were speaking, and the Lord talks about these times of calamity, and that there's going to come a day we'll come out of that, and it'll be a blessing to us again. And he kind of gives us charges as to how to act during these times. So like in verse 11 of chapter 8, he says that now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts, but there shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its produce, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And he goes on to speak of, you know, you've been a byword and a cursing of the nations, O house of Judah and Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. And he says, fear not, but let your hands be strong. I think that's what you men are speaking of right now. And hey, we need to, especially in times like these, shore up, let your hands be strong, and you just keep going, doing our duty before God, and he'll bless us for it. And that's what we're supposed to be doing in these times. And, you know, he goes on to say, as I proposed to bring disaster to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, says the Lord of hosts, so again have I purposed in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oath. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord. So, you know, he's just saying, you keep on, you do what's right and just, turn from evil, proclaim it in your gates. And so I think that's what came to mind when you men were speaking, and I think that's what you're talking about doing. And looks to me like this is a day that the Lord expects us to do just that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, John, you mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah earlier. I think it tied right in with what Nick was saying. You know, when God is going down there with the angels, he stops by and sees Abraham. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And we have to remember that. Our pastor taught on that, because that is a forgotten biblical principle. And God goes on and says, for I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. And then it says, how? By doing righteousness and justice. By doing righteousness and justice. And that's, you know, Nick, when you said that, that is what we're called to do as descendants of Abraham, as heirs of the promise. You know, the Chinese are not called to do righteousness and justice, nor do they do it. Nor do we see that south of our nation, nor do we see it anymore north or anywhere else. And this country has become just about the last holdout, the last stronghold for righteousness and hope. And that is what we are to be doing. And it is righteousness and justice when we do call out evil. You know, you think about the Old West, the stories of the Old West, Wichita and Dodge City, Kansas, and places like that, that were outlaw towns that were just literally, it was the Wild West, and you know what had to happen is they were settled down when justice was brought to them, when lawlessness was done away with, and we have that throughout our history back to the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. when, you know, and then after you read about it, you know, Abraham, and it's just how we are. Abraham's arguing with God. Well, God, are you going to wipe them out if there's some righteous there? Far be it from you to do that. And he argues with God about that, you know, because Abraham does, you know, he had compassion on those people. He didn't want the righteous to die with them. And are we not that way today, or at least we should be? You know, it's not that we want them all destroyed. We want them, as God does, to repent. But if they don't, that destruction that God had there for Sodom and Gomorrah, it is being, I think it's in the final stages today of being planned out again and being prepared. I think the swords are being sharpened. I think the angels are being, you know, rounded up and recruited and put in order. And I think it just fast approaches. Because of the wickedness of the people and the denying of his word that we see by the actions of the people in this nation. And I think that's why we have to continue to put the truth out, to continue to boldly, like you had said, John, if it's just go and be there and stand. And when we don't speak, when we do pray, and we fight that spiritual warfare, that spiritual battle, see, then it's, you know, be still and see what the Lord can do. And I think that it's time for that.
Yeah, it's amazing. To me, I had this young man just starting out in business and came to the door one day, kind of caught me. I don't usually give him the time of day, but he was a Edward Jones financial planner and, you know, actually put on a suit and just said, oh, I'm just trying to start, you know, start a business. And so I gave him the time of day, and he set up an appointment, and he came to see me this week, and we went out and we sat on the patio, and before he starts, you know, trying to give his presentation, and I said, well, hang on a minute, let's pray. So we pray, and his eyes get big, you know, and he's a Christian, and I think in more than just word, and has a young wife and a couple of children, but he was talking about, you know, global warming and how everything is going to hell and there's too many people and this and that. And I said, think about what you're saying. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, have you ever read Deuteronomy 28? And he said, no. And I said, well, you need to read it, because the first 15 verses are all the blessings that God promised to bestow upon his people if we did three things, kept his laws, commandments, and statutes. 16 through 68 are all the curses that he would put upon us if we don't. So if we followed verses 1 through 15, if we kept his laws, commandments, and statutes, we wouldn't have to worry about anything. Wouldn't have to worry about clean water. Wouldn't have to worry about famine. Wouldn't have to worry about overpopulation. Wouldn't have to worry about anything. And it's interesting to me how so few people can actually grasp the fact that God could deal with all of these things. They've been so brainwashed and indoctrinated for so many years in the public fool system, and unfortunately, even those that we've protected from there, as soon if they go to higher education, they're even affected by these things. I've seen, you know, young people that I've known growing up in the faith that understand the truth, and somehow they get, you know, their foot in the door, and they get a little bit of that of the lies, and they start to believe the lies after a while.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. That's just, you know, and that's just all over the place, too.
How many people have never read Deuteronomy 28, even in my, I think I brought it up before, in my Wednesday morning Bible study. Finally, I just stopped in the middle of the study when these guys were talking about the stuff that's going on in the world and all that, and I said, you guys ever read Deuteronomy 28? And they're like, well, no, not really. Okay, well, then let's stop and let's go and read Deuteronomy 28. And they could not believe what was in there and how you can apply the things that are going on today, you know, versus regarding the curses. And, it's kind of mind-boggling sometimes.
Well, it occurred to me the other day, I was going back to Sodom and Gomorrah again, but, you know, when they were talking to Abraham, he said, well, you know, Lord, if there's so many righteous people there, you know, and yeah, I'd spare it. And I was thinking about all the stuff going on in L.A. And the stuff going on in the libraries and all these things. And the reason that it's so bad is they want to drive the godly people out of the United States. They're not just interested in immigration, quote-unquote, but they're also interested in seeing people migrate out of here. But, of course, the people they really want to migrate out are upstanding Christian people, because then they can control everything. And basically that's what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was nobody left there that wasn't vile and filthy before God. And God went in and destroyed it. So it ties in with what you were saying earlier, John, about the fact that just being there saves it. You know, I mean, it's like just being there. You know, Psalms 116, 1 and 2, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. That attitude, that thought, and you being there is a salvation to that city or to that country or those sort of things. And it's another battle. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm old, what can I do? You can pray. You can be there. Just being there, just praying, just holding these things up before God is a holding action that bears fruit, you know, and goes on. So different people have different battles, but it's one of those things that people can do. I mean, and it's an important thing. So.
Yeah, I disagree, though, that they want us to migrate out of this country. They want us dead. That's the bottom line.
That's true.
That come,
so that's a form of migration.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want them off, like Dad used to say, I want them off the land or under it. You know, the first thing we need to bring is those that can to come to repentance, for God to remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, and that they fall upon their face and cry out and realize, you know, we were all... Dinners at one time, two, and well, I mean, we still are, but bottom line is we need to, first and foremost, to pray that they would come to repentance, but we know that there are those that can't come to repentance, and I always loved the line that Dad would say, you know, that God, we want them off the land or under it, you know. You
Amen.
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 I agree wholeheartedly.
Well, and a couple of things that are going on too in the world that I think are worth mentioning, and you know, it's stuff that, you know, a lot of people don't pay much attention to. The Farm Service Agency report just came out recently, and they've been since 2007 basically they've started keeping track of prevented plant acreages, and basically it's a new way of reporting, but basically it was a report that was generated that. Says how many acres in the United States were prevented from being able to be planted or harvested or whatnot due to natural disasters, whether it be tornadoes, floods, drought, whatever the scenario may be in particular to that. But, you know, they just came out, since they've been reporting in 2007, they said that this is the worst year, basically. Farms reported more than 19 million prevented planting acres this year, with 73% of those acres in 12 of the Midwest states. And those are all the states that have basically had the heavy rainfall this year. They say this is the most prevented plant acreage since FSA began releasing the report since 2007. And is 17.5 million acres more than reported last year. Now that's a lot. And you know, as you read through this, it's a huge long report, and you know, we don't have time to go into it. But you know, we do have a lot of grain reserves here in the United States. But I mean, you talk about it. You know, it's been, you know, you talk about it for long enough and people get tired of hearing it, but there's a famine coming. And we're getting set up for one. It's, you know, as far as the crops are concerned, as far as the protein market's concerned, you know, there's different diseases that have hit, you know, towns all across Asia, you know, that have wiped out a huge percentage of their pork, and you know, that's opened up the exports of U.S. pork to Asia, and it's one of the biggest moves in the protein market that's ever happened. You know, but it's due to disaster, and it's just because it's simply not there. You see what's happening in the oceans. I mean, basically from the, you know, all around the world is, they're having higher radiation levels in the fish that they're catching all over. And basically that started with, Fukushima. You know, and they say that, you know, that thing, you know, what did that happen? 7 years ago? I can't remember exactly, what year that was, but, you know, it's been going on for a long time, and they still haven't got that thing under control. That thing's still just spewing out radiation into the ocean. You know, there's a lot of things going on like that, that, you know, people need to be aware of.
Yeah, absolutely, and you probably know more about this too, but the lawsuits against Monsanto now for Roundup, and boy, those, I mean, you know, they're going to try to postpone it and bury it and tie it up in court for as long as possible, but the fact that even a company like Monsanto is being exposed is answer to prayer, in my opinion.
Absolutely, it is.
I agree. I think it's even a source of miraculous divine intervention that they sold out to Bayer, which is, you know, one of those little stunts they like to pull because that eliminates the liability, but Bayer got, they got, you know, tag-teamed in that deal, and it didn't work, you know, so it's continued
yeah,
in reality,
God's working it for good, because who has more money?
Yeah.
I think Bayer has more money than
exactly.
Even Monsanto. So now on the lawsuit, they've already ruled that they're just as liable. They own the company. They should have done their research and realized that, I mean, when you buy a business, you buy the liability. That's why it's so important to make sure that whatever that business is didn't violate a bunch of EPA laws. I mean, I remember businesses in the 80s that all of a sudden the EPA would come in and look behind their shops and start digging up ground and find out that they were dumping their used oil back there for 50 years. And if you bought that business, guess what? You're the one that's liable for the cleanup. So
yeah,
there's another way that God's working all things for good, is by tying them into a bigger company with even more assets.
Absolutely.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, then they could deem them too big to fail.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then you look at, you see what's going on with these tariffs, and, you know, Trump just came out and basically said, if you have companies that are doing business in China, pull out.
Make plans to get out.
Amen. I say praise the Lord to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's like a game of poker, too, if you look at it. He put tariffs on their stuff, then they put tariffs, and then Trump sees them and raises them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those things. I don't think anybody really has any idea how much of the stuff that we use on an everyday basis comes from China. I mean, it's
everything in Walmart.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Everything in Walmart, but not even that. I mean, this week, you know, I got a Ford Excursion that I'm trying to put a front end under, so I'm trying to find parts for it. You know, Moog used to be a company that used to be, you know, a U.S.-based company. You think that, okay, Moog, that you go through, you start going through all the top-line products, parts, suppliers, and you'd think you'd be able to find one that was made in America, okay? Well, actually, you can't. It's impossible. So then you go back to the factory, and you're thinking, okay, I'm working on a Ford vehicle. I can still get some Ford-made U.S. parts, okay? Same deal. You try to get a motorcraft part that's made in the United States, and motorcraft's not even made in the United States.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's every single thing is sourced from China, and it's it's just mind-boggling sometimes.
Well, even Harley Davidson wants to start building. I mean, they want to move a plant to China to build, and
yeah.
Trump's saying he's going to penalize them heavily if they try to, you know, move production to China. So it's something that needed to take place a long time ago, but there's going to be some pain to it. Absolutely. There needs to be some pain to it. I mean, you know, the reality is in the physical world, the only way out of the enslavement is to default on the national debt. And really, Trump's one that might just do that, because that's a common business practice in the world, is to default on debt and restructure, and that's the only way you can survive sometimes. Now, we know
back
that...
For the years, but maybe you remember, Tim, but was when they started bringing in those Japanese bikes that were kind of like the Harley knockoffs, weren't they, what was the tax, the import tax or the tariffs on those, on bringing them into the United States? Do you remember?
I don't remember the exact percentage, but it was substantial, because it really run the price up on anything larger than 750 cc's. I mean, and,
oh, it was like
and 80, yeah.
82
or 83, yeah, right there.
Yeah,
that's what I was.
I remember my 83 Magna was the last of the 750, because right at 84 they had a drop into 700s. Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
So, interesting. I didn't know that. Why?
That's another thing that you have to watch in this whole deal when you're looking for Made in America products, because these companies all know how to, these big conglomerates, they all know how to play the game, and, you know, it was just like those were 700 cc's, just under the limit or the cutoff limit. And it's the same way when we're looking for Made in America things. You read the back of the package and it says, for example, I bought a faucet the other day and I was looking for a Made in, you know, USA faucet. And I'm looking at packages. No, this one's made in China. This one's, and then I get to one that's pretty expensive and it says, Made in the USA of foreign components.
Yeah, like, you know, you see that a lot too.
Yeah, exactly. So, and
assembled in the USA of Chinese products. Yeah,
exactly. It's still a Chinese faucet. They just put this piece in that piece and screwed that on, and there you go. You know, so
charge more money.
Yeah, it was $140 versus $49 for the Chinese one. So, and it was all plastic too, but you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, it's just like, wow. So, it's difficult to, it's like, you know, trying to navigate through a big mess. And I know there are companies out there who take pride in their work and make good products, and they're made in the USA, and but they're under the same penalty, because maybe they need a particular pump or a particular part to assemble to build what they're building. They may not even be able to source one here, you know? It's like, well, the only place we can find it is over there. So it's kind of
the good news is even over the last few years, there's a lot of companies that have realized that, they, you know, especially with the tariffs. And the problem is too that, there's been companies, and I know one specifically, Ultimate Support Systems, that bought into the lie and moved their operation over there, sent one of their CEOs to basically oversee the creation of their factories and all of that. And the Chinese got to him, and he made a deal with them, and they basically stole all the patents and produced the product, exactly the same product with the same materials, in the same presses and the same equipment and everything else, for half of what he could. And it put a, you know, multi-million-dollar company out of business. So
yep.
I think some of the American companies are realizing that the Chinese are stealing the technology and the patents. And even in the last 2.5 years of President Trump, you can see that at least appears to be a lot more options of things that are made in America, which is a good thing for sure.
Oh yeah, it's going to take a little while to get that all flipped around the other way, and there is a lot of copycats.
Money. And there's a lot of
the companies, a lot of money.
Yeah, and there's a lot of opposition to it. You know, people that have supported "Oh America" and "Make America Great" and all that, and then this is the next step. You know, to reduce our foreign dependence. And you know, when you're invested in it and you've done this, you maybe you've bought the company after it's already, you know, sent everything and got everything made in China. It's going to take some change. It does, and it is receiving opposition. You know, this is Coffee with the Wranglers. If you got your coffee cup, don't spill it, but look on the bottom of your coffee cup that you got there and see where it's made. And see if it's not made in China. And if it's not, great. I got two of them sitting here, two different brands. And I would bet that they're both made in China. You know, unfortunately, it says here what? Designed in Texas, made in China. How about that? And that's just where we have come. That's where we have come as a people and as a nation. And it's time to change. It's time. It's time to change things in the physical. It's time to change things in the spiritual. It starts with an awakening that we read about there. And where is it in Isaiah, awake, awake, O Zion. You know, wake up. And people are starting to do that. Even Ace Hardware. Ace Hardware carries a lot of made in USA brands. Now, they're more expensive than Walmart. Absolutely they are. But they have light bulbs that are made in the USA. They have many different things. And so if it's something that you're really interested in, Remnant, you can do that. Does it take a little more time? Yes. Does it take a little more money? Yes. But that's how it is.
Yeah, I think another encouraging thing and reason why some of this, the enemy is being exposed, the reason why a lot, they don't have the power that they once had is because of the advancements that we made against their child sacrifice and abortion. And here Monday, a law that was passed through the Trump administration regarding Title X funds, which apparently yes. Originally were voted by the Congress to pay for mammograms and things like that, preventative cancer treatments and women's treatments and things like that. Obviously, when Planned Parenthood was getting the money, they used it for nothing but abortion, and they've even exposed the fact that most Planned Parenthood clinics can't even do any kind of women's health preventative whatever. And if you request that, they'll send you to another clinic. But so all they are is abortion mills. But the beauty of it is that they're going to start to hold them accountable starting Monday that if you perform abortion, you're not eligible for the Title X funds for any reason. And Planned Parenthood has actually just said that they'll forego all $60 million in taxpayer funding that it normally gets from Title X. So that's a huge win. But, you know, the sad thing is they probably still get another $500 million in tax dollars somewhere along the line through some backdoor deal or whatever. But I think part of the reason that the enemy is losing its power is because of those things are being exposed, and there's less and less innocent blood that's being shed.
Amen.
Absolutely. Well, and they've made merchandise out of those abortions. I mean, when you read about them selling body parts and all that, and it's not enough to steal, take, or grab money up front off things like Title X and make millions on the backside with those things. It's horrifying when you think about it. I mean, the whole thing is vile. And it's a blessing to see the Lord move up and move against them, and to see those things exposed. I mean, they scurry away from it too. It's thank you, Lord, for bringing that stuff to light.
Amen.
To see it.
Yes.
Yeah, it puts to mind to me, too, some of these things you men are talking about, especially when Richard mentioned the spiritual and the physical. realm relationship there. Of course, it brings to mind whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And I think the church world has difficulty of putting that into practical terms. You know, Jesus makes that statement, say in Matthew 18, this perceived those words, where if your brother sins against you, you tell him his fault between you and him alone. Then it goes to the next step. If he doesn't listen to you, bring one or two others along with you. And if he still doesn't repent or refuses to listen to him, tell it to the church. And then if he doesn't listen to the church, that last step is let him be to you as a Gentile or tax collector. So you're to shun him. Then, and so by doing that act in the physical realm, that very next verse is when Jesus says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So he's using that example of saying, look, because you did your duty there with this brother that was at fault, and he refused to repent, you bound him. And so you did a spiritual work there, and it lines up. And I think some of these actions you're speaking of is finally some men are actually doing some things and trying to correct these wrongs. And it will end up paralleling in the spiritual realm, and then we're actually binding on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. In the same way with loosing. So, you know, it's so important to get all the context with some of these statements and be careful about how we go about binding and loosing and what it means and how to do it in this practical sense, and that it really is more spiritual than we realize. What do you think?
I agree. It has to be his way. You know, that's why it's called the way. There is a way to do things. It's not to fire off in the flesh. It's not to, I think John mentioned it earlier. You know, sometimes it's not to say to them what they want you to cast your pearls before swine so they render you asunder with it. It's to be wise as serpents. And to understand, I think, Jason, you mentioned earlier that we are in a spiritual battle. We have to remember that. And it has to be, we have to be in line with the Holy Spirit, and that has to be the guiding force in what we do.
Yes.
Yeah, I plan
both ways. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you talk about it being a spiritual war. You know, there was a news article that Marlon sent me earlier this week, and it said the Satanic Temple gets religion. And, you know, just the first paragraph basically confirms that, you know, that's just what it is. It's war. And it says there's a new religion in America. The Satanic Temple has earned the same tax-exempt status as a church by the IRS. The group has been around for half a dozen years and grabbed news attention for its political activism, but the official U.S. government recognition and a recent documentary films are bringing a new level of attention to the group. The Satanic Temple headquarters is a handsome old New England house, which was also a funeral home in the center of Salem, Massachusetts. And, you know, I mean, yeah, talk about spiritual warfare. That's what it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, another significant thing is that those Satanists have been tied with the abortionists just in the last couple of years.
Yep.
And
yep.
That's opened a lot of people's eyes, too. People who,
exactly.
who never really understood what was going on. I mean, Dad said for years, you know, that they get power. We get power from our God through prayer and praise and worship and fasting, and they get power from their God through pain and suffering and death, and then nobody could, you know, for the longest time people couldn't understand that. But then when you start to see that the Satanic Church and those that worship Satan are tying themselves with abortion, and they basically admit that there is power in the sacrifice of children, then you start to see people's eyes open to the truth. which has been phenomenal in my opinion.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, we're about out of time.
I would even add.
We're about out of time, guys. I want to thank you for joining us. And folks, if you like what you're hearing, we encourage you to join us. Come to church with us tomorrow. You can do that by going to scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. That's 7:30 out on the West Coast. And join us. We'll have a review of the news, an insight and study. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth for you. Looking forward, John, to your live message. And we'll have communion. And it gives you the opportunity to gather with like-minded Christians, even if it's over the web or over the phone line, and take a little time out of this crazy world and remember what we're here for. So, again, men, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, big high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more.
Big high. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.